Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the most illustrious podcast that has graced your ears in the last 12 months, because we've only been around for 12 months. Actually, it's just come up to the 12-month anniversary of the Two's Company podcast as of, what date is it today, you might ask? The 27th of March at the time of recording this. So happy 1 year to the Two's Company podcast, the number 113 comedy podcasts in the world. That's a big, number, that 113th in comedy podcast. Can you believe it? I honestly can. It's a special episode today, gang. It's a solo one, simply because me and Kirkham have both been so busy lately that actually organizing a podcast has become a little bit difficult at times, and I know how busy he is with work, and I'm about to sip my coffee, so apologies. Oh, God, it doesn't get better than that, does it? I know how busy Mr. Broski is with work, and the last thing I want to do is take an hour out of his day to record this bollocks. So though we agreed to record, I didn't want to pester him about recording in case he felt obliged to do so. But this is a special episode simply because at the time you'll be listening to this, the thing would have already occurred. At the time of recording this is currently the day before, and I'm going to try not to cry as I say this. But this is the day before I intend on asking my girlfriend to marry me, which is something I maybe didn't expect myself to be saying this soon. And it's certainly something that has become more prominent and real and almost right in front of my face very, very quickly. It's something that has always been something that I wanted to do. I've always wanted to be married. I've always wanted to have kids. I've always wanted to have a family. And at times, I think especially when you're in your late 20s, there's probably these peaks and troughs of, well, I need to get this sorted and I need to get this sorted and I need to do this and I need to do this and then I'll be ready and then I'm ready to do it. And for me, it was very much a case of, as someone who's very conscious about money, I wanted to get my business in a position where even if there was a drop in income, that it wouldn't matter too much because the current income of the business was already in a pretty sustainable place. So for me, that might be a case of, and I talk for myself here, it's having enough money to support our bills, like our rent, our food, our electricity, everything like that. Being able to afford the expenses of the business, such as the gym rent I pay, the petrol I use specifically for work, having obviously the money aside to pay the tax when it comes to it, having the money to do things that are personal pleasures of mine. So being coached by Mr. Joe Jeffrey, who better fucking be listening to this, otherwise I'd cut his finger off, motherfucker. I wouldn't really. He's terrifying. So paying for Joe to coach me. Paying for the cinema, which is obviously something I pay around £20 a month for. So again, being able to afford everything like that, but then still having money to put into a savings pot. Monzo savings pot, by the way, if you don't have one, get to fucking know, because that shit is money, literally money. Being enough, like having enough money to put into there, having enough money to spend each month. So Dina gave me a lot of banter about my coffee budget, which has come down drastically because I am going to disappoint coffee snobs all around the world when I say this, but I've switched over to a little Nescafe 3-in-1. And I know what you're thinking. Job, is that even coffee? No, it's probably not coffee, to be fair. And you know what? It's delicious. So fuck off. You can take your Greek fucking bean and you can grind it up really nice. You can give it a shine. You can put a little bit of salt on there to amplify the flavor. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to stick to my Nescafe 3-in-1 because it tastes good. It's only 60 milligrams of caffeine. So mans can drink like 3 in a day, not have a heart attack. Life is fucking good. I went off on a massive tangent there. I actually just got a message from Dino himself, Mr. Dean M. McKill Op. That's his new name. McKill. Dean McKill Op. What else is news? Well, Dean, hopefully when you're listening to this, you would have already seen the news. So rambling aside, as I was getting to before I went off on my tangent, which is very common for me, I plan on proposing to my girlfriend 24 hours after this podcast is being recorded. Actually, more like 30 hours. Let's be more realistic with timings here. So for those of you might be wondering, how did you do it? But at this point, you're probably wondering, or if you were listening to the time of recording, you'd be like, how are you going to do it? But if you're listening, it's gonna be, how did you do it? Motherfuckers, that's time for you. An endless loop of experiences. So the original plan, the OG gangster plan, was to basically lure Katie to her parents' garden. So Katie's parents have a really nice garden. It's one of her favorite places as well. She loves their garden. She's just a bit of a plant person, really. And the plan was to, on Sunday night, lure her to her parents' garden. The plan was to have her dad say, "Oh, I've decorated the garden. Can you come around and see it?" We realized that the clocks go forward on Saturday, so this is a bit of planning with me and Mr. Ford. We realized that the clocks go forward on Saturday night, early hours Sunday morning, which would mean that it's probably not going to be dark till like 8 o'clock. And I shit you not, there is a 0.01% chance that Katie would leave the house to go around to her parents at beyond 8 o'clock at night. So we thought, shit, the probability of trying to lure her there is going to be impossible without her being suspicious of something, because that gal gets in her pajamas and it is a done deal. So, Good Friday, which is the day after recording, me and her had plans to go around to her parents for a Chinese. I haven't had a Chinese in a while, by the way. Do quite like a Chinese. So we had the plan of going round to her parents for a Chinese on Good Friday afternoon. Just had another sip of my coffee there, I apologize, but this three in one's doing bits. So the plan is to go around to her parents after we've consumed the Chinese food. Katie's dad would have already decorated the garden. I'm actually going around today for him to show me what it's going to look like, where everything is, where I can potentially get a camera, because it's something that she's always said if we do, when we get engaged, it's something she wants to catch on camera so that she has the footage. So I've got to find somewhere to set up a tripod, which is going to be an ideal spot. I might have to do like a little red X on where I need her to stand. So I'm going around to sort that out with him today. And the plan is that during the evening, Katie's dad is going to ask us to go outside and look at the lights, which will be beautifully decorated in the garden. We do have an umbrella in case it rains. That's always a good little preparation that we've got there. So the plan is to go outside. He is obviously going to show us it all and blah, 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 blah. He's probably going to leave us to it. I hope he's going to leave us to it. It'd be quite awkward if he's just stood there, wouldn't it? Sorry if you listen to this, Alex, but it probably would be. So he's going to leave us to it. I'm obviously going to have the ring at this point, which I'm trying to think of where I'm going to store it on my body that won't make her suspicious. I'm thinking if I wear a big oversized buttoned shirt that is done up with a little T underneath. I can pop it in like the inside pocket of the oversized shirt, and then she might not have an idea. If not, I might have to put it up my bum. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So at that point, I'm going to do the vintage thing of getting down on one knee, and I'm going to ask my girlfriend if she wants to spend the rest of her life with me, which is pretty fucking mental, if I'm not gonna lie, but in the same breath, and this is probably what made me realize that it was the time to do it, I'm not really scared at all, and I'm not like worried, and I'm not second guessing it. And for me to not feel anxious about something is a pretty fucking good sign that it's something good. Again, because I'm someone who historically overthinks most things, classic overthinker, very, very hypothetically driven, I'd say. For me to not overthink this is a very good sign that it is 100% the correct decision at this time in our lives together. We've been together nearly 3 years. We got together in on the we essentially met on the 8th of June, 3 years ago. So yeah, that's there you go. A little bit of history for you. The 8th of June. 3 years ago to the date, we then got together. I literally think like a week after, or 10 days after, maybe. Tuesday to no, it's 10 days after. I went round on a Friday night, also for Chinese. How much memorabilia is going on here? I tell you. Went round on the Friday for a Chinese. Decided that I didn't want to be seeing anyone else. And to be fair, I'm not the sort of person who'd talk to more than one girl at a given time anyway. Simply because I haven't got that much time, first of all. But also, I'd feel a little bit icky inside. Wouldn't feel good for me to do that, and I've never really done that. And if I did do that at any point in my life, it was likely when I was 16 and I was going through my player stage. So yeah, so it's an exciting time. like I said, I'm not actually nervous. I'm very excited. The ring is currently sat in the glove compartment of my car because number one, she won't go in my fucking car because she's got her own car, so she can drive herself places like work. Because there was a period of time when I was taking her to work every day. So Katie, if you listen to this in retrospect, driving you to Sweaty Betty was my least favorite task in the world. Yes, it meant that I got to spend a bit of time with you. Just fucking hated it. But you know that already, darling, so it's all good. So yeah, it's an exciting weekend ahead. I've got a bit of time off on Monday to kind of enjoy the moment. We've got so this will be Friday, the day of the proposal. Saturday, we're actually both doing something separately on Saturday night with hanging out with my parents. She's hanging out with friends. So it's gonna be a bit weird that we just get proposed and we're not spending time together. But we've got Sunday and Monday together, which would be super, super nice. All our friends will know at that point as well. I've kind of hinted over the past few weeks and days that it's coming, but not given any specific time or date. But and as I know he'll be listening to this, one of the most influential conversations I've had is, and I've had many influential conversations with a lot of my friends. Specifically, I think I said in a previous episode that Dean and Joe are both very much my wise friends. Joe had a really good conversation, and he's probably had this conversation with me a few times about marriage, and statistically people are happier, and I really took that on board and thought about how my life would look in the future with a wife and kids one day. And I was like, yeah, like being a dad one day will be fucking awesome, and I cannot wait. And being a husband and a provider, like those are things that I have a successful business now. Like I've conquered that hurdle that could change overnight. I can end up going to work as a and this is not to put any disrespect on, this is a career, by the way, because this is my backup job. You know, I go be a postman. Like it's fine. I've conquered the self-employed thing. I've been successful. If that was to drop in the years to come, I'd be completely fine with it because I've hit that target now. I've nailed it. So this is sort of the next step. I've accomplished everything I wanted to from a personal perspective, and that was always my goal, to achieve personal success so that I could then pursue success with a partner, and as a couple. And yeah, there's no one else that makes me feel the way Katie makes me feel. And the most accurate description of her would be that she makes me feel like the And I was thinking about it, the superhero of my own comic book would be the most accurate. Like, I is someone who's very, I don't want to say sidekick syndrome, but that's often, I always think of myself as the sidekick, right? Which maybe this is an egotistical way of looking at my own life, but I don't consider myself a main character, right? I'm the consistent side character, you know? I'm the jester. There you go. I'm the comedy relief. There you go. I'm the comedy relief in most social situations, and She makes me feel like I am the main character of our situation, our social interaction. So it's a unique feeling and no one else has ever brought to my life. And that is why I'm gonna ask her to spend the rest of my life with me. The rest of my life with me, rest of her life with me. I hope my rest of my life is with me. God, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? So that is my sort of ramble about what is to come, but more so what has already happened, because you've already witnessed it on social media at this point, because we've already posted about it. I'm gonna have a little 2 second coffee sip again. Just wait right there. Oh yeah, that's three in one, baby. Oh my gosh. But to swiftly move on from this solo affair, I'm gonna dig into a little bit of a present that our friend Holly the Savage Davidge got me for Christmas, and I've spoken about this before. And the present was, and I know everyone has a little opinion on old Stevie B, Mr. Stephen Bartlett. I quite like him. I think sometimes he can sound a bit repetitive, but for the most part, I enjoy his podcasts. Beyond some generic questions, the Diary of a CEO conversation cards. And he, do you know what? Beyond the podcasting stuff, he just seems like a nice bloke. So I think it's always important to, when I'm bantering about his generic questions, like I'm not saying that as an offense to the person. That's more the podcaster. As a person, he seems like a really cool dude. Apart from he got absolutely wrecked on The Apprentice. Did anyone see this? Because he the boy got humbled very quickly, and it was quite hilarious. I think it was something to do with like a massage gun. And he said something like, "Oh, I've got like 10 of these sat around my house. Like, what is the point in this one? What is this one gonna do different?" And I think the woman was like, "No offense, Stephen, but we're not all in a position where we get sent free massage guns." Boy got fucking humbled. So yeah, just remember where you are and where you've come from sometimes. Maybe that's the important lesson there, Stevie B. But like I said, you sound like a great bloke, so don't take offense. But you only listen to this shit, so it doesn't matter. Unless someone wants to share it and send it him, could the jot be on the Diary of the CEO? That'd be a terrible episode, wouldn't it? Oh my God. You'd be like, "So Jordan, you speak about your past life and tell me more about that. Can you be a little bit more precise about telling you more about that?" So people, the Diary of a CEO conversation cards. Apologies, Stevie B. Went off a bit there, didn't I, bro? Jesus Christ. What is the greatest gift another human has given you is the first question. And Ben Francis, is that the bloke who owns Gymshark? I think it is. So first of all, I'm able to scan what Ben Francis answered this question. Oh, sorry. It wants me to watch the whole episode. I don't want to do that. Sorry, Ben Francis. But he seems like a really nice guy, Ben Francis. Anybody know Ben Francis? Gymshark bloke? He's a fucking millionaire, any billionaire. What is the greatest gift another human has given you? It's a very good question. And I probably have a short list of fucking hell, like three answers, I reckon. I think there's a good three things I could pinpoint specifically that would be my go-to answer here. So one of the greatest gifts another human has given me, and she won't be listening to this shit because I don't even think she knows what a podcast is, because she's part of that Gen Z generation. So Ellie, I love you more than anything in the world. Listen to more podcasts, darling. What is the greatest gift another human has ever given you? I would say my mum and dad gave me a little sister. If I hadn't made it obvious on this podcast many times before, my little sister is the I don't want to say the most important thing, because that kind of belittles anyone else in my life. But I'm gonna say it. My little sister is the most important thing in my life, and is someone who isn't a parent yet. She's the closest thing to having a child I've ever had. She was born when I was 7 years old. So though I was still young, I definitely was put into a protective role. I remember I used to come home from school. My dad was working. My mum was probably at home at the time, because I think my mum stopped working for a while when my sister was born. And yeah, so I used to come home from school, and when she was sort of really, really young, my mum would, be like, "Hey, can you go in the living room and sit with Ellie and do whatever?" So I'd go in the living room with a chocolate bar and a packet of crisps, which was my post school snack, post workout snacks, chocking crisps. I'd sit there on the sofa with no shirt on, with my massive 8-year-old man boobs hanging out. I put wrestling on, or Power Rangers. No, probably Power Rangers at that time. I think I didn't get into the wrestling until probably my sister was two. I think I was 8 years old when I started watching wrestling. So it's been fucking 20 years. God damn, that's a lot of wrestling I've watched. And I used to sit there, and I used to rock her in her little bouncer thing with my foot, probably not even looking at how fast or hard I was rocking her and just watching the wrestling, but just fucking going 10 to the dozen with my right leg. And she's probably flinging around in this thing, having a whale of a time at the age of one. And yeah, I think I am partially the way I am today, which is I'd consider myself very caring, very, very loving. I definitely look towards friendships as if they are almost siblingships. I'm just very loving of the people in my life, and I don't think I would be that way if it wasn't for having a little sister. I think having a little sister opened me up to loving very hard and very strong. And yeah, I think me and Katie did this like couples quiz once, and it was who is one person who you'd do anything for beyond your partner, and it was her. I would approach any obstacle, no matter if I thought I was going to fail or not, to protect my sister. I worship the ground she walks on, and she doesn't know this yet, but Katie does want my sister to be a bridesmaid at our eventual wedding. And I think, number one, I'm going to be an emotional mess. Because to see the two most important women in my life walk down the aisle looking absolutely beautiful is gonna probably write me off for the entire day, and I won't recover from the tears I lose. So someone get me a bottle of water, because I'm gonna be dehydrated from the amount that I'm crying that day. So I would say that my little sister is definitely the best gift I have ever received. If I was going to put a present into this context, I remember when I was 8 years old. Was I eight or was I nine? How old was I when I was nine? No, do you know what? It must have been 7 or 8. Do you know? I don't even think my sister was born yet. I think this is when we had just moved into our house together, me, my mum, and my dad. We'd moved into our first home. And my dad, I remember very much. When we first moved into this house, my dad got me this present, and it was like this Power Rangers Megazord. And I was like, at that point, I was like, "You're the dude, man. You're the dude." He bought me this Power Rangers Megazord, and it was like one of the best gifts I ever received. And I remember for the Christmas, I wanted this other Megazord, and this other Megazord was controlled remotely by the morpher that you wear on your wrist, and I could speak into the morpher. And by doing so, it would get the Megazord to transform, which I thought was fucking bonkers. And I remember that was the only thing I was focused, like I could have got nothing, right? I just wanted that one thing. My parents have always been sort of big gift givers, whether they could fucking afford it or not, which is to their detriment sometimes. But this was the one specific present that I wanted, right? Above anything. And I've always been a very grateful person. And I remember getting through my presents and doing my best not to look disappointed, because I'd opened all my presents and I was like, "Ah, fuck. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't get it." I was like, "Thank you so much. Like, I love all these presents." And I remember just looking at this Star Wars video, and I love Star Wars. And I was like, "Well, guess I'm watching this then, because fucking didn't get the Megazord." And I was like, "I'm going to go watch Star Wars in the other room." And I guarantee my parents knew that I was disappointed, because again, when I've been disappointed, I never voice it. I'll just take myself away and be disappointed on my own, because I don't want to sound ungrateful. And Definitely not at that point in my life when I was very young and had everything that I probably could have wanted as a kid. And I remember my dad was like, "Oh, have you checked your bedroom?" And I was like, "No." He was like, why don't we go upstairs and check your room?" And I was thinking, the fuck? And I remember like walking upstairs, like, oh, fucking hell, why are we going upstairs? And then on the bed was a present wrapped. And I was like, yo. And I opened this present, and inside that motherfucker was this remote controlled Megazord. And I was like, you crazy ass bastard. Now, looking back, I'm a little bit unsure as to how it got there. Because my memory serves me correctly. There was no opportunity for him to leave the room to do it. I'm strongly convinced that my uncle, who always came around on Christmas Day to see me and my sister, but mainly me at this time because my sister wasn't born, I'm strongly convinced my uncle came in the house while we were in the living room, put it upstairs, and then left. That is what I think happened. I need to maybe ask my parents this because I'm actually really intrigued. And it was just one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. And I still think about it, sister. I always bring it up to my dad. I'm like, do you remember when you hit that Megazord? He was like, yep. He was like, oh, that was cool, wasn't it? I was like, man, that was so cool. So cool, bro. So moving on again into these conversation cards. This is, I feel like this is a really powerful one. We're gonna go for this one, I think. So next on the list is who is the person you'd most like to say sorry to, but haven't? Which was asked by Will Storr and answered on the Diary of the CEO podcast by John Ekberts. I have no idea who any of those people are, by the way. Who is the person you'd most like to say sorry to, but haven't? I would say, I don't know if we've answered this before, but I think my answer might have changed. I think there's two answers I could give, and I'm going to give both of them for context. I think there was an ex partner of mine, and during the time that we were together, I think I was maybe not myself. I was very disordered with my eating habits. I was tracking everything, pulling rubbish out of the bin to scan the barcode on my FitnessPal. I wouldn't enjoy meals out with them, and I think looking back, if I were to ever in a position where we would have a conversation, I would probably apologize for the neurotic and self-obsessed person I'd started to become, when I let like nutrition and tracking take over my life. That would be one of my answers. I think the other answer would be my mum, because I feel like I often don't show my mum how much I love her, which is strange because I love my mum an incredible amount. But I think sometimes we are so different, and I give off this energy that I don't want to spend time with her because she annoys me. But it is just because we're so different, and I want her to know that she doesn't actually annoy me. But I find her personality very different to mine, and I sometimes struggle with that from a social situation. And I think sometimes I've been in the past very hard on my mum in terms of not letting that love be reciprocated, if that's the right word. Because I do love her to bits. And again, she is one person beyond Katie who loves me more than anything in the world. So, yeah, I think that's a really important thing to consider there as well. So maybe I'll tell her that. Maybe I'll be like, Mum, maybe you should listen to this podcast of mine. So, yeah, moving swiftly on, what was the best conversation you ever had? And why? Best conversation I ever had, and why? Now, it depends what context this exists within, and it depends, is this based on what I got from the conversation, or if the conversation was a favorite of mine? I guess that would be sort of my first question. There's probably so many answers I could give here. And again, I think it's appropriate to not give all of them because I think if it's going to be the best, I can't go beyond like two. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people that have probably been very eye-opening for me and very, very, I don't even want to say influential, but just maybe memorable. This isn't necessarily a conversation, but I'll shine a light on this moment. Because I think I do have two answers for the conversation portion of the question. One of the best things that anyone has ever said to me was when we went to Thailand and Katie's parents invited me to go with them, and I said, hey, that would be great, but I was going through the building process of my business at the time, and I was like, yeah, I might come, or I might fly separately on a cheaper flight, and whatever it may be. And I was like, but I'll think about it. And Katie's dad invited me round, and he put his arm around me. Bearing in mind, he'd only known me like, God, like 5 months at this point, if that. He put his arm around me and he said, I would like to pay for half of your holiday. So if you can afford to put this much in, I will cover the cost of the rest of the holiday for you. And you can essentially fly business class with us to Thailand, which was an incredible gesture, first of all. And I said, you know, thank you. Like, I don't know how I could ever repay you, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I don't want you to repay me. He said, but you have given my daughter so much happiness. And that is something that I could never repay you for, or something along those lines. It was along those words. I don't want to paraphrase inaccurately there. But essentially it was he let me know that how happy I made Katie was something that he can never repay me for. And I thought that was just a lovely gesture. So that would be one of the coolest conversations I've ever had. Another conversation I had that sticks out in my brain was with Jasmine Jeffrey, again, one of my best friends in the entire world, the big sis, as I call her. Because I don't have any older siblings, so I've thrown her right into that bracket. And it was around her birthday, I think, of this year just gone. And we had this fucking in-depth, like 5 hour conversation, like two fucking 14-year-old schoolgirls, just about both of our lives, both of our history. There's probably a good portion where I've sat there for 2 hours not saying anything. And I was just listening to Jazz talk. And it was just such a like deep conversation that made me appreciate the friendship that I have with her. And it was, I can't remember specifically what we spoke about, but basically she was you, as we've quickly learned, just telling each other that, you know, you are the little brother I never had, you are the big sister I never. It was just a very lovely conversation to have with a friend who I look up to. So that was probably one of the best conversations I've ever had. Because it made me feel like I'd positively impacted someone's life, which is something that I think I'd always wanted to do. I wanted to have a positive impact on someone or people's lives. And for a friend to tell me that I've influenced them so positively and that I bring them such joy, it is a really nice feeling. So, yeah, that would definitely be up there with one of the best conversations I've had. And then I'm going to treat this, I think, as the final calling card, question card of this podcast. Oh, there is a good one after. I think I'm gonna have to answer that one too. If you could turn back the clock on one day in the past year and do it differently, what day would it be and why? Which is a very retrospective question, but maybe a lot of introspection thrown in there. If I could turn back the clock and change something, what would it be and why? I would say Over the past year. So what are we thinking? April to April? Should we go with that? I think. Oh, do you know what? This is a really tough one. This is a really, really tough one. Because I'm very grateful for the past year. I'd say the past year has been probably one of the best years of my life. The year of the job. I would probably say that maybe I wouldn't change a ton of things, but do you know what? I'd probably go back to Christmas Day. I wouldn't change a whole lot, other than I would live a little bit more in the moment. I definitely think because I'd been dieting up to Christmas, I had gone in with a little bit too much food focus that I didn't think was there, but it was there. And there were parts of the day where I wasn't paying attention to the day that I was having, but I was paying more attention to, is it time to eat yet? Shall I eat yet? Am I hungry? Am I bloated? Have I still got abs? And I think there was this slight bit of mental block that occurred that day that I wish didn't. And I think if I could go back and be a little bit more present and less focused on the things around Christmas Day that don't really need to be a focus, then that would be my answer. And then to finish off this solo podcast, ladies and gentlemen, which I hope you've enjoyed, what is your definition of success? Which is actually something I've answered before in a Facebook post. And I think my answer pretty much remains the same. I think to be in a position where I have enough money to live the current life I do, I think to have a certain amount of money saved as a support blanket, it is important to me, and it definitely is a definition of success. I think to be able to have a home that I can live in with my partner who I love very much, I think having a ample amount of time dedicated to both work and social life is succession for me. I don't think you're successful if you're only burning one end of the candle, whether that be the work side or only the social side. I think to truly be successful in life, you need to have this lovely balance of work and life. And I think to genuinely be satisfied and happy with what you do on a day-to-day basis is also an extremely important factor in what I would consider being successful. So that would be my answer to that question. If anyone has a contrasting opinion or answer to what I've just said there, I'd be super interested to know. Or any of the questions I've answered today, if you want to answer them perhaps differently in your own words, then please leave a comment through Spotify, which I think you can do. If you can't, then don't do it. And I hope you've enjoyed this solo outing. At the time you've been listening, time you will be listening to this, I would have asked my girlfriend to marry me, and I am officially a fiancé. How beautiful. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Two's Company podcast. I have been your host, Joppo, and I hope you have a fucking wonderful bastard day. And to quote my beautiful friend, Ryan Kirkham, the big daddy, Aliando Grande Papa. Love you. Bye.